Hey, good morning, folks. 8:43, Wednesday, April 8th. You're still here? Still going. It's a beautiful sunny morning. Going to be up to 60-ish degrees today in Seattle. What a gift that is in the midst of this difficult turmoil. Scary, uncertain, angering time. But there's also hope. Hope comes after the dawn, comes in the spring, comes in the morning, comes with people. Hope is here. This is the Three Things episode. Today we're gonna take a little bit longer than usual because we want to dive into a couple really meaningful things. We're gonna talk about the Wisconsin primary and the voting chaos that's been there, why that is catalyzing for us in our work. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders' decision, just announced that he's going to be suspending his presidential campaign, and what we think that means and our thoughts about how he's gone about doing that. And then third, we're going to talk about just the kind of way in which our organization is being nimble and creative in this time, which was on full display last night during my first lecture for this current lecture series on the Republicans. Charles will be calling in here in a second and joining us. Just look up at the sky and I see blue sky. We have gotten notes from many of you over time. We appreciate that, so are grateful for the support and engagement investment of people with our work and just with our community. We're fully fired up and engaged. We, in fact, are hearing from our partner orgs that the need for our engagement with them is, in some respects, higher than ever because of the challenges to their resources and to their volunteer base right now. So we feel that kind of connection and community to our partner orgs very, very deeply right now. I'm going to get in Charles here. Hey, good morning, Charles.
Good morning. What I missed?
Let's see. Just a little intro by me about three things. We're going to talk about Wisconsin and then Bernie. And then I want to talk. Then our third thing is going to be talk about the nimbleness of our organization right now, the creativity that we're seeing and how it inspires us.
Okay. Next time, you got to surprise them. You gotta roll each thing and have them go, oh, wow. Yeah, we'll do that next time, though. That's fine.
All right. So are you – I didn't talk to you yesterday.
You got
to
build up, man. Hey, I saw this lecture last night.
And, oh, did you?
The guy, I was watching the lecture. Yeah. He did a really good job of doing this. He built up the slides gradually instead of just, like, delivering the headline. So you gotta do that, man. You gotta learn from I forget what his name was, but he does lectures on politics and stuff. I'll send you a link.
Okay, outstanding. Because I'm always down for, like, finding inspiration and, you know, looking for PowerPoint tricks and tips and so on. Right? Yeah.
Oh, you do lectures too?
I'm dabbling in it. I'm trying a little bit. I pretty much just use what I do at what I've done at UW, which I did for the last couple of decades. I just use overheads and pens.
Oh, that's good. Well, hey, you know, you should get into the new technology. I'll send you the link to this guy. I forget what his name is.
Baby sure.
Bonkey or something. I don't know.
Sure. Hey, I have. When we were in college, I'm sorry. When I was in graduate school in Minnesota. My wife and I met another couple, and their last name was Frompke. Okay, Really? And so it was, yeah, it's the Fromkeys and the Domkeys. And like neither one of those is like a celebrity name. Okay. And so
this is true.
You know, I thought about the celebrity name, non-celebrity name aspect of our last name. If our son, who's 18, our older son, were to, and he's interested in theater and acting, if he were to break through big time or something, he's going to have another name, a stage name, right?
Yeah, he's gonna change his name to, like, Cruz or something.
sure. Right. Hey, there's a van that just went right past me just now, like a big Sprinter van. You know, these ones that have like the elevated roof, and it had a huge Seahawks emblem on the side.
That's what I'm talking about, man. You got to keep the sports alive. Yeah, what's a Seahawk? Is there still football?
Is that
a thing anymore?
Oh, I'm going to break your heart right now. And then we need to start.
Oh,
but,
no.
So... Okay. My son and I, our other son, 12-year-old, are watching these 30 for 30 documentaries on ESPN, watching one on the Lakers and the Celtics and their rivalry in the 1980s, and there's all kinds of great footage and stuff in these documentaries, and there's one set of scenes in a row where they're showing the Lakers during, I don't know, like the 85 season or the 86 season or something, and they're showing clips from different games, and they're all the clips are favorable to the Lakers. They're like, Magic got 50 this game, and then Kareem got, you know, 40 rebounds this game. And there's like three clips in a row where they're playing the Seattle Supersonics. And then you have Magic saying something like, "Yeah, we own the Sonics," Sam is like, "I don't even know what that team is. What is that team? I've never seen this team."
No!
And he goes, Yeah.
Oh. Dude, I found an old hard drive. See now we're going way off. This is thing number zero. I found an old hard drive in the garage in a box. And I plug it in. I find the plug, right? Because normally you find these things and like you can't find any attachments. I find the plug.
Oh, right, right.
It had copies of every picture of our boys from like birth up to like,
oh my gosh,
5 years old or something. And there's a picture of these are pictures we thought we'd lost. There's a picture of one of the pictures was of us at a Seattle Supersonics game. And it was, we were up in the nosebleeds, but it was like, we got there super early and you could see the whole court. And it was like, man, I got so emotional. I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? Like the color combination even? Like the bright yellow and the green?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you into them? Were you big fan?
Yeah, man, I was a super big fan, man. The marketing locally was so good. They had this thing where they were like superheroes. Do you remember that? Like even like Detlef Schrempf and all these dudes are like some cartoonist rejuven them as superheroes. And I was young enough to like totally be into that. Like I was totally all about their superhero Sonics.
Yeah, there was in the documentary. There's this reference to, Kareem dropped 40 on Sean Kemp. And that was before Kemp went down the tubes. All right? And, And Sam looks at me and goes, "Who's Sean Kemp?" Well, everybody who's
listening. Dude, you know what? I blame that on his father. That's your fault. You need to find some old video of Sonics in their heyday, sir, and watch it with your son.
Well, I think that actually they were the Sonics in 79 when they won the championship were my first NBA finals that I paid any attention to. They beat the Bullets, the Washington Bullets at the time. And I was in Detroit and where I was living outside of Detroit. And there was all these games were shown late at night on tape delay. They weren't even shown live. They were shown by CBS at like 11:30 local time. And so I would stay up and watch them. And Jack Sicmon, Downtown Freddie Brown, they were incredible. Wasn't DJ Dennis Johnson too? Was he here?
Oh, you're talking about before my time.
Got it. Like literally, maybe literally before.
Yeah, literally, your time. I did not exist. Yeah. Okay, we're killing people right now. This is probably really endearing, and we got to the point where it's past endearing, and they're gonna go like use the bathroom or something. Okay, three things.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so so you told them this is an extended three things, right? Because this
I
is,
did. I mean, yep.
We get
yep.
Too big. Good, and we proceeded to extend it even further. So, the first thing is Wisconsin, and I actually Wisconsin. So the Wisconsin elections were yesterday, and it was the primary elections, and there was a Supreme Court race, a very important Supreme Court race, and there was a legal battle. There was a bunch of back and forth by political folks to stop the election or pause it, and then to get it started again. We can get into detail, but it ended up still happening due to action by the Republican-controlled or the conservative-controlled Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. Conservative-controlled Supreme Court.
Yep.
And so they made it so the election still happened regardless of what Tony Evers, the Democratic governor, wanted. And these people were forced to vote in person at the polls. Some of them even forced to vote in person after they had successfully requested an absentee ballot, because the government said that some of those were going to be invalid because they wouldn't get back to them in time. We'll get into the detail of like the results of the election, the why this happened. But the thing that punched me in the gut, dude, was seeing these people in line trying to keep 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
And in Milwaukee, so the most populous areas of the state where coincidentally most of the Democrats live and most of the people of color live.
Right.
I'm looking at these people and you think about like why people go outside now. Why do people go outside now? Why do people risk coronavirus and leave their homes? They do it for medical reasons. If there's an emergency, they do it for food and they do it for work. Right? These are things that people are willing to risk their lives for, things that they need to live, right?
Yeah.
These people were out there risking their lives to vote, to fucking vote. And even as I talk about it now, I get emotional again. The list of things that people would risk their lives to do, voting is on that list.
Yeah.
And they have seen the news. They understand that it's a Republican Supreme Court and a Republican controlled legislature. They understand Tony Evers can't pass anything. They just got done with Scott Walker. There's like everything against them, and they still get out there and they say, "I could die, or I could bring this back and kill my at-risk loved one, but I'm still gonna go out there and vote." That was one of the most powerful things I had ever seen. And the other part about that is that my team, the Wisconsin team that has gone out there four times now, we've taken four trips out to Wisconsin between 18 and 19, 2018, 2019, and plan to go out there in April. These are people in Milwaukee and Racine that we've talked to. These are doors of people that we've knocked on, and we try to convince them to get out there and vote. My team was making calls, actually, or all of CP was making calls up until this point to encourage people to vote. And some of those people were probably inspired to go out and vote and stand in line. That's some of the heaviest shit I've seen, man. That really punched me in the gut. And if anything, what it told me was how powerful that the vote is to these people, what it means to them to be able to exercise that power and how they're willing to sacrifice to exercise that power.
Yeah, I saw a number of photos from yesterday, and I saw the various people, long lines, apart from each other, wearing masks, in some cases much more than masks, to protect themselves. And there was also one video I saw where it was pouring rain for a portion of the day. So these are folks that are putting their lives on the line to do this, to vote. And we in Seattle started at the epicenter of coronavirus. And Wisconsin has been at the epicenter of the struggle for the soul of this country for the last decade, at least, Wisconsin has. These are folks who are resilient, who are determined, who have had thing after thing, structure after structure, leader after leader, put them down, push them away, squelch them, and yet they are turning out. It looks like the turnout in Milwaukee, despite all of that, wasn't bad yesterday. It's not clear yet, but the early returns look like the turnout was still like pretty high compared to other special elections. There's still a lot of data to come, a lot. But relative to where it was at in 2019, last year, when you were there also for the Supreme Court election with the Wisconsin team, the turnout looks a little bit up. I look at them and I say, like, if there's ever a time when we need to be together always and ever across in common purpose, small c, small p, in common purpose, it's now. Us with them, them with us with New York, Louisiana, all these places where people are dying for just civic leadership.
Yeah, it's you look at them and you go, if they can do that, if they can do that, then we can do more. We can do even more than that. We can have their backs. The racial component of that, African Americans are 20-something% of the population in Milwaukee County, and they are half of the number of people who are infected, and they are 80-some% of the people who are dying in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
To be anybody in Milwaukee is, and still go show up to vote in Milwaukee County is a big deal. To be black in Milwaukee and show up to vote is even bigger and more meaningful. And I mean, shout out to the African American communities and the folks that we worked with in Milwaukee that are probably seeing the worst of this and still have their eyes on the prize. Oh, am I breaking up? Hello. David, you there? I think that may be David. Uh-oh.
We we lose somebody for a minute.
Hey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here again. I hear you now.
Okay. When you were talking, was the little circle thing going for you?
No, it was not.
Oh, you're the one then, because I was talking and I could hear my little circle thing like on the screen. I could see it.
I think we're talking about circle moving. I think we're talking about different circle things. All I know is we couldn't hear each other. So maybe people were hearing you, but I don't know. So let me just ask you this. So we've been doing this work together for a couple of years. And it runs deep.
Now I'm out.
Now you're out. And it runs deep. In
I'm got back. I'm structures. Back.
Okay, good. Thanks goodness.
Yeah.
So why do you think that yesterday hit you so hard? Because this is not like intellectually something you didn't understand or know.
Right. I think it's always different when you see something.
Uh-huh.
Right, it's always different when we see what something looks like. When you see the faces of people, I think this is something that this is a biological thing where human beings react to the faces of other human beings in certain ways. They use it in marketing all the time. They go like, "Oh, instead of just putting words up there, put a human face, and people will react to it in a different way. They look at it longer." An ad or something like that, or they respond to it differently. And so when we see human faces, it does something to us biologically that's different than just numbers or words. And seeing the people, and then imagining the people that I talked to when I was in Milwaukee last, And some of them like had their kids with them. You know, it was heavy. Thinking like, what would it be like to be in that situation where I had to vote in person? It was when you start to relate to people and empathize with a face. That's when it starts to be emotionally weighing. And also there's this other, so there's that aspect of it, of, this is right in front of you. And this is it's a real person there, but there's another aspect of it that is just an emotional toll that this is all taking on all of us. And, it's a buildup of things over time for how unjust this is. I think it would have been different had there not been a back and forth. Maybe it'd have been a little less of a hit, but because there was hope and then hope again, you know, and then like the Republican establishment just like slams the door on these people. It just adds to that emotional weight.
Yeah. Yeah. I would answer my question with two things. One is, I think one of the power, why it hit such a gut punch. That's the question. I think for me, the two reasons. One is the power of us building relationships with people in these places so that they're not abstract individuals anymore to us. They are literally right. Friends and colleagues. They are people in the struggle, in community. That's just the reality of the way that the psychology is among humans, that when you have a personal connection with somebody, you're more the negative outcomes are more personal to you as well. So that's one of the things I really treasure about Common Purpose, is that Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Maine, Florida, all of these places are not abstract states, quote unquote states to me. They are people. They are colleagues, right? So that's one.
Yeah.
And then second, what I saw happen in the course of, let's say, 72 hours was in a microcosm, all telescoped into short amount of time, was the struggle that we're engaged in around voting. That it was all on display. In the 2020 version of that struggle was all on display right there. You had people on one side absolutely nakedly pushing forward an agenda to make it harder for people to vote, and in fact making them risk their lives to vote, all because that side, the conservative side in Wisconsin, wanted to hold a Supreme Court seat that they see as important to their long-term interests. On the other side, you had people fighting for expansion of voting, safety of individuals, a chance not to suspend, not to stop the election, but just to give people more chance to actually get their ballots and to mail their ballots back. And so it was all telescoped together in a short amount of time. The U.S. Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the Democratic governor that we helped to get elected, the Republican legislature, which when asked to come into a special session to consider expanding the voting deadlines, did. It convened for exactly 7 seconds in the state Senate and 12 seconds in the state House. That was it. And they said, we're not interested. And so I saw it all. It angered me. Absolutely. I think I hit my anger peak for 2020 2 days ago. And now I'm kind of on the other side of it saying, let's channel that. Let's channel that as much as we can.
Well, before we move off of Wisconsin, I want to give a shout out to the folks that we've worked with before. Nadia on the Tammy Baldwin campaign, Danielle with the Wisconsin Democrats, Anna, who we were working with remotely just now before we weren't able to travel. And actually, while we were phone banking for Wisconsin these past few weeks. And then Sheila, who is an African American woman who actually was retired out of politics and who came back especially for Tammy Baldwin to help her because she needed it, and she was inspired, or not inspired, she was fired up by this era in our politics, and is now probably re-retired, but like fighting behind the scenes, because she's one of those people that she's a big deal in the Black community, and it takes a lot out of her to do this work, and she still stays in it, and she always goes back to help out her people. So Sheila, we're thinking about you.
Yeah, we don't know the results there in the Supreme Court race yet, because they're not going to be released until April 13th, because more absentee ballots are going to come in. So we don't know the actual result. We're holding out hope that Janet Karofsky, who is the progressive candidate for the Supreme Court, who went by the slogan of Janet for Justice.
Jill.
We're holding out hope that she's got a chance still, despite all this. All right, I'm going to go number two. It's Bernie Sanders. Bernie just announced that he's suspending his presidential campaign. And I want to say a couple things about why that fires me up and really actually helps to get me going.
There's a couple reactions. That one of them is finally, and the other one is about the younger people, was just tears that I saw on our company Slack channel. So that's interesting.
Two
different responses.
So I think that Bernie has been the symbol of a fight for people for the last 6 years in this country.
Yeah.
A symbol of a fight against oppression and against systems that work to disenfranchise and to demobilize and to crush certain populations, certainly less affluent populations, people of color, particularly in that cluster. And over time, I have just come to have tremendous respect for Sanders in terms of the battle and the struggle that he's put forward. I have journeyed to respect and appreciate that, and to see it for For the best part of it, there are many critiques of it that are legitimate and are concerning about some of the ways he or his supporters have gone about their work. But to see the best of it, to see the struggle and the fight and the ideals that have been involved. So I appreciate that he has run the race. He has run it as best he understood to run it. And then second, he has said throughout this entire campaign, when he comes out to give speeches or he's on late night interviews or anything like this, the first thing he says every time is the most important thing in this election is that we defeat Donald Trump. All right. Mm-hmm. And then he turns to deliver as his tried and true speech and positions on healthcare and on criminal justice and on global climate change. But he starts with that. And I have believed that when he saw it as the time to, if he got to this point, to end his campaign, that he would do that and he would get behind the nominee, that whoever that was, he would get behind them. And I have come very close, and now I'm bummed. I've come very close in the last week to saying to some people, including you, that I think he's going to drop out on Wednesday, the day after the Wisconsin primary. So I'm bummed because I can't own that prediction now. Okay.
Man.
But the reason I thought he was going to do it today is because I felt that actually he is staying in through this election through Wisconsin. Was a chance for him to try to push up turnout in the state among left-leaning, farther left folks who saw that he probably that he wasn't going to beat Biden, but that they still wanted to make a statement with their vote. And he dedicated for the last 2 weeks his campaign to raising money to fight coronavirus, to buy masks. Yeah. And he also dedicated his get out the vote operation in Wisconsin to, which was all remote now, he dedicated it to getting out people to vote for the Supreme Court election. So I just stand in respect to Sanders right now for what he's doing. I believe he's got the best interests of the country at heart. And I believe that we're going to see a coming together in the party that will surprise people, that because of 2016 was so hard that people are fearful it's not going to happen. But I think that he's going to help to make it happen. And he can't control all his supporters, but I think he's going to throw his weight fully behind Biden. But at minimum, he's going out today, I think, in a way and in a timing that looks to me like it's a thoughtful, careful, supportive approach. And I appreciate that when anybody does that.
Sure. Yeah, I said, I tend to be a little hyperbolic when it comes to politics, and just because I like because you specifically are really careful with your words, I tend to be in the other direction, just because I don't want to for myself with polite talk, but I called him crazy the other time I was on 2 days ago, and it was just, I honestly don't think that other guy actually, I've been inspired by him in this race. I was actually rooting for him at a certain point, and I love the coalition that he did build, even if it wasn't what he'd hoped it was. And I love the policies that he talks about, and maybe the way that he talks about them is not my thing, and I think that's fine. But he did a lot for the progressive movement in this country, and it's interesting that a lot of what he had been talking about in the race is stuff. There are things that everyone is talking about we need to pass now, and it's not even optional. It's kind of like, when are we going to do this thing that Bernie said we needed to do a long time ago? And I was against it, but now I'm totally for it because it's going to affect me. That's the tragedy of this moment, is that we're getting his policies and we're not getting him. And it took a lot of death and a lot of loss for people in different ways to come on board with what he was saying. So hats off to him for always talking about what the right thing is to do, even when he was comfortable himself, even when things were generally good for people. The right thing to do is the right thing to do all the time, not just when you personally are affected. And I think Bernie knew that.
I think ultimately when you're talking about character of elected officials or people who are seeking to be elected, I think we learn a lot about how they depart.
Yeah.
And yep. Do they burn down the house, right? Or do they, you know, get on board and help to fight the fire and to put it out? And I'm not looking backwards with Sanders. I'm only looking forwards with Sanders. And looking forward, what I see is a guy who respects Joe Biden, understands that he had a fair shot this time, gave it everything he had. Yes, the establishment mobilized to defeat him, and they did. And that's their prerogative. That's their prerogative. And they did it. And ultimately, Sanders, now the choice ahead of him is, how is he going to depart? And what I see him doing is departing on terms that are so far very positive for what's going forward. But I totally appreciate that he stayed in through Wisconsin. I believed that there was a strategy behind staying in for Wisconsin. It also gave his own internal team and supporters a couple weeks to have to mentally, emotionally prepare themselves to get out. And so there's no guarantees, but to me, this is the best possible way he could step out.
And I think, looking to the future, I want to get everybody ready, but, there are some people that are, Bernie's going to, I think he'll bow out gracefully and he'll do a lot to actually work for Joe Biden. I agree with you. And I also think that there are members of his supporters that are going to, they're going to come across as showing some of the worst aspects of what his support, some of his supporters have shown on social media and in places after this. Some folks are going to say they're not going to vote for Bernie. I want to tell our community and the people who want the best for Biden that those are supporters that we never really had. And I would say that those were never really Democratic supporters. Those were kind of anti-establishment folks, and they don't represent Bernie. You know, they are a loud micro minority. And we shouldn't focus on them at all. You're going to have some of them that are just trying to get us riled up, and we should focus on the unity that we see over these next few days, and not on the worst of his supporters or the people pretending to be his supporters.
Sure. Is that your daughter back there, or is that you?
No. No, that's my daughter. She's broken up over Bernie too. That was who she was.
Sure. September, yeah. I hear you.
You know the youth, man. They're behind the radical socialism.
Totally. You know, that age range from 0 to 20, 21, he's got that locked down.
Yeah, he's got the infants. He totally has them. He's speaking the language.
All right, number three. So, last night, I did a lecture, first lecture in this lecture series, and
is this going to be another tech conversation?
Yes, man, yes. And
oh my gosh.
So we're like 7 minutes
into this. I apologize in advance. Not everybody listening.
We're 7 minutes into the live stream. We have not gotten going yet with the lecture, but we're getting already, and I'm saying hello to people and getting the sound locked down and the live streams going. And then just as we're about to get started, YouTube takes down the video. And by takes down, that means it removes it. They remove the video stream. And Wole, who works with us and is running this show, is like, what happened? I don't know what happened. And then we get a notice saying that we violated some kind of community standards on YouTube and that someone reported us. And they responded, YouTube responded by removing the video. We have no idea what's behind all of this or what's going on, because there might have been some violation of community standards at some point coming up, but it certainly hadn't happened yet. And relative to like what kind of stuff you see on YouTube, this was, our content is tame. We didn't know, but it forced us in that moment to do two different things. We had to switch the software that we were using from Zoom to Google Hangouts. And we also had to go from a public link to a private link to have people view it. And I had to send out some emails to people saying, hey, we're doing this. Hang on, we're making an adjustment. And everybody hung in there. Well, I made it happen. I was just laughing throughout because the notion that some kind of content of mine is going to get taken down from YouTube is laughable. And the folks who are watching the videos or the lectures hung in there and came back to us and stuck with us. And this morning when I looked at it, there was 650 views on the thing. And I was like, whoa, look at how many people at one time or another watched or listened to this or saw portions of it at least. I'm walking up a hill right now. That's why you can hear me winded. But I just, oh, and then we heard from a number of people after the lecture about how they appreciated us responding and being creative and then getting the content. And none of it was perfect. None of it. Sure. But it was all authentic and good. And it was all in the service of something better and positive. And I'm really, really feeling the value of a team, our team, and the community, and the way in which people are all rowing in the same direction.
Yeah. So people don't worry, we are not doing anything that is nefarious. If anything, we are, it's either something with Zoom or we are being targeted by folks. And we've had this happen before, where we're being targeted by people who are starting to understand who we are and what we do and don't want us to be successful. And so, one of the things that the notice said was that the takedown, was administrated by some like an automated procedure because Google is low on staff right now because of the coronavirus. So I think a human being hadn't seen it, you know, but probably got reported by somebody who's wanting to cause some trouble. But no, David is not doing anything inappropriate on his lectures. If you haven't seen them, please watch them. They are family friendly. The community is strong, and it's a good place to hang out. We pivoted again, and we made something that was still, you know, really accessible for people in the same exact way that they were expecting. There were around 250 people that were watching you troubleshoot with Wole. Live on YouTube still, and then those folks got the link and got moved over really quickly. So kudos to our community for learning technology, huh? Like, who knew that you'd have to know how to use YouTube and Zoom and be able to receive an email link and open that up really quickly? I mean, we're doing pretty well in this quarantine life.
Yeah, and Wole was stressed because he was responsible for kind of doing the technology, but he completely kept his cool and made the shift. And I was just kind of like, this is hilarious and we're going to get this done one way or another. And then we emailed out to the community and the community's like, okay, well, some of them said, I'll just catch the recording when you send it out tomorrow. And many of them though said, okay, I'm having a glass of wine or something like that. I'll just hang out and wait. All right. And, and, that's a, I guess I want to finish this piece with this. In order for there to be leadership and for people to lead, there have to be people that will go with them. All right. There have to be people that say, I'm with you. And the act of saying, I'm with you for a accomplished, older, mature person is a very big deal to say that to a younger person and or to an organization, to say it to an organization, I'm with you. Especially in a society in which overwhelmingly white people have not said that to people, black and brown people, to say that to an organization where we prioritize leadership development among diverse people, and much of the lecture content often is dealing with disenfranchisement of such populations, and we as an organization are out doing work with such communities, and we're fighting for voting justice around the world. For people to walk with us through big things, but also through very small things, is really an act of it is an action itself. It is not a passive thing. It is an action, a choice to say, I'm with you. And so shout out to everybody who is with us. It is more than just being with us. It actually is a choice on your part.
Yeah, well said. And there's more to come. We are. What day is this? What day is this, David?
Okay, hang on.
How many days?
Well, it's April 8th, but let's see. There's 31 days in January, 31 in March. That's 62. There's 29 this year in February. So that's 62, 91 really plus 8, 99.
I'm supposed to be running tally of this stuff.
It's day 99. Day 99 of 2020, all right?
Only day 99. So thank you for hanging with us and through the big stuff, the small stuff. And we got a lot to go still.
So absolutely.
Keep on.
All right. All right, let's get back to work.
I have a lot of meetings today, man.
So do I. We're supposed to have one right now. Are you free to do the one right now?
No. Yeah.
Okay, I'll join you on that call. All right?
All right, man. Let's get back to work.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.